morning. Today is Thursday.
Good morning, Brian.
Anxious to go there is Maggie Fleming. Oh, boy. I'm presuming that you're following the stuff going on in the East Coast.
The pictures are frightening.
Well, and they're last night, at least, they were saying a possibility of 15 to 20-foot surges.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you put that out here. Now, we're not designed for that, you know, like the East is. But that's kind of an impressive little moment or two, or 30 inches of rain in a couple of days.
It is.
That kind of brings 64 flood into focus really quick.
Right. It just, you know, it just reminds you that you always have to prepare. I always think about, you know, we talk about it a lot. What are we going to do when, you know, the next big earthquake hits? Because we have, you still got to get our job done. You still got to be ready, but you got to take care of your family too. So you got to be prepared.
So let's get to this before we get to that. Yes. Okay. And you didn't think we had anything to talk about.
I got lots to talk about.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, I got one, and then you get your turn. All right, why do they say that? Behind the eight ball. What is the origin of saying I'm behind the eight ball?
Just bad news? I don't...
In Kelly Pool, little pills corresponding in number to the pool balls are shaken out of a leather bottle. Each player then gets one in turn. Allie Flint used to play this game regularly with a number of friends and liked to bet with them that he would get the lowest numbered pill. There were generally eight or more in the game, and anyone who got a pill with a number higher than eight couldn't possibly win. Allie Flint consistently got a higher number. One day in disgust, he threw down the pill saying, "I never have any luck. I'm always behind the eight ball."
There we go.
So it has nothing to do with
pool.
Pool. Or billiards, another stereotype destroyed.
Well, I read one last night. Do you know what outside the pale means? Where it comes from?
Now, it's not outside the P-A-I-L.
No.
It's P-A-L-E.
That's correct.
Outside the pale. So I would think, you know, in today's light, gee, there's got to be a racial component. And it has something to do with skin pigment. I don't think so, though.
No. So it came from...
Weather-related?
Medieval times when the surrounding wall that protected each community was a gigantic circular stone wall, great big wooden doors.
And like the castle
last... The castle type thing. Yep. And the idea was, should there be danger, everyone in the village knew they were to run in, the doors closed. And so basically this giant circle represented... the outline of a pail, you were in the pail. So if you were outside the pail, you were out of luck.
Which had a whole different phrase.
Yes. We're on the radio.
But it wasn't shop.
No.
It was something else.
That's correct. Winston, is there a way to edit
this? Not when it's live,
right,
baby.
Now. I got to go. Did I mention that?
Got to run. Got to move. Yeah.
This went downhill fast, Brian. I don't know. Yeah.
And you didn't think we could. There we go. Right down the old precipice. The plan B concepts, I know, are something that there's a lot of tabletop exercises that go on every once in a while. You know, Troy pulls the trigger and we have a fake tidal wave and see what's going on. For the earthquakes that will undoubtedly be coming, that are significant in nature.
Yeah.
What is the plan B for the courthouse, for your department, for the jail, you know, for everybody that's kind of in the whole criminal justice area?
Right.
If things go squirrely, does that play out as? Or is there any concern about the courts at that point?
No,
there
is.
It's more about
is.
Public safety.
And it's interesting because... you know, so much of what we do is based on we have an alternate location, we'll continue to do business and stuff. Well, recently at the statewide conference, we had a panel specifically on this because we've had, we had there four DAs who had recently gone through pretty significant emergencies. So it was Napa, Sonoma, Santa Barbara with the, you know, the huge slide and all of that, and Ventura related to the fires. And they talked about, you know, you have all these plans, but of course, the first thing that happens, like in Napa, is the cell towers went out in the fire. So now you may be home at 3 o'clock in the morning, but you have no way to reach anyone else in your office. And, you know, we sort of had all talked about that, that issue of, so obviously, you know, the sheriff's got other sort of plans in place, but the key is to have a system so that we can all still communicate and be ready to go, because we will have to continue operating. They're really, you know, you can go down 24 or 48 hours, but basically at some point quickly thereafter, you've got to resume business as usual.
Well, yeah, a lot of the cell phone towers being located as rural as they are, they're not really protected. They're certainly not designed
right
to handle some of this stuff.
Right.
Okay, so they go down. And that's a concern I know a lot of the folks have got in our area with the earthquakes too.
Mm-hmm.
These things are, you know, they tip over or. Okay, now what, guys?
Right.
Phone, that's a rotary dial phone. We
right.
have those still?
Yeah.
Et cetera, ? Not only how do you communicate, but how do you get the word out to the community also?
Right, that's right. So I know, you know, recently, in fact, while I was at the conference, Shasta County was experiencing that fire, and I knew the DA and a number of people in her office had been evacuated. So I and other DAs reached out to her and said, you know, I can loan you a person or two. We'll put them in a hotel so that your people can just deal with trying to get their family wherever they need to be. And I can certainly do anything you need via email, you know, because if your court's open, I can be filing complaints for you, doing that sort of thing. And that's really, I think, how a lot of us envision it, is that in those first 24 to 4, you know, other people are going to step up and try to help us, because it really is such a significant situation that you need to deal with immediately.
Well, and the team is statewide. It's not
yes.
just here.
Yes, that's right.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So you said you had a extensive list of things you wanted to talk about this morning.
That's right.
I got my one thing in here.
You got your one thing.
Your turn, baby.
Why do we say it? That was it for
yeah.
you. Yeah. No, I was before the break, we were talking about Measure O, which is the renewal of the public safety tax that Humboldt County has. It's currently, you know, 4 years ago when it was passed was Measure Z, and we're asking for the voters to renew it. It's not an increase. It's not a change. It's a renewal that has brought millions that can only be used in Humboldt County for purposes of public safety. And it's had a huge impact on my department, on the sheriff's department, on probation, on roads, for the fire departments. So it's really critical that we pass Measure O in November.
So when we talk about Plan B,
yes,
what's your Plan B if it doesn't happen?
You know, that is very, very difficult, because it funds personnel positions. And for the sheriff's office, you know, the way this all started was McKinleyville, I can't remember if it was the service district or I believe it was the services district, started talking about the lack of full-time deputies in the McKinleyville area, sort of looked around and realized it was true Willow Creek, it was true in Hoopa, it's true in Garberville. And so it really came from the communities that were being so negatively impacted by all those years of recessions. My office had 9 frozen positions when I took office 4 years ago. That's 1/7 of the DA's office. It was deputy DAs, DA investigators. It was the child abuse services team coordinator. It was victim witness advocates. So it's without it, we are really not able to do the work we need to do. I know that in some counties, when the Board of Supes has said to the elected DA, you're going to have to take a cut, they've said, okay, we're no longer going to do the misdemeanors for cities. The city attorney will have to step in and handle those. We simply can't do that at the staffing level you're telling us we are now going to have to function at. So that'll be something I'll have to consider, because we have, you know, a significant number of violent crimes. We have right now 20 pending murder or manslaughter cases. I have to focus on that first.
There really hasn't been a decline in that with the legalization, has there?
No. No.
Because that was one of the hoped fors also.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, again, one of the issues we've always talked about is until something happens with that, with cannabis federally, we're still always going to be in that black market zone, right? People are still going to be here growing it, with the idea being we're going to get it across state lines and get a much better price. Versus in California, you know, if you stay in California, the price has dropped such that why would there be, you know, so much crime related to it? What we still have, unfortunately, is the negative impact to the environment. We still have people that are doing a lot of damaging activity related to that, and that's something we're really trying hard to address through prosecution, through some of the other agencies.
Now, is the county has got a special division, if you will, within the Building and Planning Department?
Yeah.
Do you have a special division within the DAs for the prosecution of and taking some of the permitted revenues or permit revenues? Do you get a piece of that to be able to prosecute the code enforcement side of things?
No. But what I did when I came into office, because it's what I tried to do when I was handling those cases, is address that piece. So part of the prosecution is also running, you know, the health and safety violations, the fish and game code violations, those violations along with the case. And then with the legalization, those charges that relate to the environment are now the only way the growing of marijuana is actually a felony crime. So you really have to look at it, but then also we have civil cases that we can file in addition to our criminal cases to try to really address some of those other violations and the penalties.
Somewhere in the back of my head, I was thinking that the permits that were going to be charged for those who wanted to grow legally was going to cover all the costs of the permitting process, the code enforcement, everything in that arena. Not the case?
It covers that, but that's the other piece. So those folks, if you're not permitted, that can be addressed by those. What we're seeing are those who aren't permitted who also have all these other violations. That's more where the sheriff comes in. So someone calls and says, hey, you know, we're permitted. We believe these three other people over here aren't. That's not part of, that is part of what the sheriff then is involved in as well. And then those types of cases can also come to me. The code enforcement handles those, but primarily what they're looking at too are going out and dealing with the people who have started the permit process but either are in violation or aren't following through on what they're supposed to do. Sort of like the distinction is, you know, if you have a place that has an alcohol license, you know, the state can be involved in evaluating that. Separate and apart from that, there might be criminal violations if, say, they're selling to minors or something. And that's where others become involved. But a lot of times I don't see the straight code violations. Code meaning county code.
Right.
Sorry.
I figured it out.
I was with you. Lots
eight,
of codes.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, and American Ag. Maggie, there are certain events, cases, press releases, that hit big splash early on, and then they kind of disappear. I'm thinking of, you know, some of the Bar District in Arcata. There's been a couple of them that, you know, sensational is too big of a word to use.
Yeah.
But let's call it a little bit less than that. Okay, things happen and then it just kind of goes through the process and kind of fades somewhere. Is that something you're comfortable with? Is that our desire as the public to catch the newest, latest, greatest rather than to remember about yesterday and follow up on yesterday?
Right. You know, it's interesting. That's a really good point, because what we see is that, and it's true too with our press, they cover some stories. They don't cover necessarily all of them. What I see is law enforcement, when they have a major arrest or a major case break, they might do a release. I really am careful with, I do not want to have too, you know, to be saying too much to the media, because what's important is for us to have a fair process. And particularly if it ultimately goes to a jury trial, I want to have jurors who can sit and hear the case fairly. So legally, what the state ethics, the guidelines are, is that, you know, we have limited information we're supposed to present at any point in time. So if the media calls me, we'll certainly answer, yes, we have filed the complaint, they're going to be arraigned this day. But we try not to be too much expose, because then it can really impact the fairness of the process.
Well, isn't that the function of cell phones?
Yes. That is it.
Sorry. But it seems to be driven that way now. Everybody has their own opinion, and I'm going to be wandering around. And that, unfortunately, I think, it represents news for a segment of the community that really doesn't understand the distinction between the TMZ National Enquirer and legitimate vetted news.
Yeah. And I think that's one true experience that jurors all see, and that is when you sit in a courtroom and you watch the entire case unfold, you really understand how different it is than the little snapshots that tend to be how social media cover cases. But we do try. I try to do press releases on, you know, major cases, whether the plea or the sentencing, and then I also try to do press releases for our felony jury trials, so that the community knows what's happening in the courts. But that's kind of the limits of what I've done so far. I'm always wondering if there is supposed to be more that I should be doing, if the community would want more. One area that I know other DA's offices do is they have a more up-to-date, that's a bad term, but website, and then also many of them run a Facebook page, sort of keeping some information. I've thought about doing that. It would be something more for my office to take on, and I'm still working hard to dig out on the high number of pretty major cases we have. I really do think, since that is the purpose of the DA's office, until I've got that sort of handled, I got to just focus on that.
Well, maybe just something as simple as posting your own press releases.
Right.
And a calendar.
Right.
Okay, fine. I mean, it's there if somebody wants it.
Right. We have that on our website, so but sort of making, you know, one of the areas that I have to consider is making the website more more that people would say, oh, I wonder about that, and would think to go there. I don't think that that's unnatural. It's kind of difficult when you go to the county website to actually get to that link that, okay, now here I'm at the DA website.
I thought it was simplified when it went from the old one to the new one.
That's my goal, is I've got to just make it super simple.
Ah, I see. Papstein proof. You can use that as a working mantra, too. That'll mess with you. There was this situation with the bar in Arcata.
Yes.
Is that just kind of going through the processes now?
Because
every once in a while somebody will say, hey, have you heard any?
Yeah.
What do I know? You know,
right.
But that type of focused, more of a single use for a neighborhood. I know one of the things, you know, if the bars, instead of having a bar district, were broken up a little bit, impacts to certain communities might be less, certain neighborhoods obviously would be less, and maybe the mob mentality might kind of get dissipated as well.
Right, right.
Because I don't think it would be permitted today to have so many bars one tight area.
No, it would not.
Like the old days.
Yeah.
And that was just, you know, one of the bars in the neighborhood there. So that one's just kind of continuing to chunk along?
Yes, yes.
See, I can write your press release. Continuing to chunk along.
There we go. I'll tweet that. Oh, wait, I don't do that.
So. No, good for you. I don't even know how. I'm so ignorant in that area. It's just refreshing. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:41.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie. So what were the other things you wanted to bring everybody up to speed about?
Well, we were, you and I talk so much during the breaks, I always forget what I was going to say 30 minutes ago. Also, just working through some of the legislative changes that we've seen this summer.
Have there been a lot?
There have been a ton that affect criminal proceedings. There was the change in the bail law that'll take effect October 2019. That'll affect who gets held and for how long. But also we recently had a change, it's been about a couple months now, for mental health diversion for those who commit criminal acts. The court pre-trial, meaning pre-plea, is to offer diversion for up to 2 years on these offenses. And what is so significant, of course, is the state decided that the funding available would go to the 15 counties who had sort of, in essence, the greatest need. Well, that meant LA, Alameda, those sorts of counties.
The big boys.
And did not think about how little mental health services some of the rural communities such as ours have available. So the idea now is we have people who are saying my client is appropriate for this diversion program, and we don't have a program.
Do you have to ship them down south?
Well, no. If it's out of custody treatment, the idea is they're supposed to have services available somewhere here.
Another unfunded mandate?
Another unfunded mandate. What was interesting is we worked as a statewide agency really hard just to say, wait, you certainly can't mean murder cases. You can't mean some of the really, you know, violent crimes. And they limited it a little bit. They carved out murder. They carved out manslaughter. They carved out some of the sex crimes, not all of them. But otherwise, it sits there. And one of the issues that we spotted is if this was post-conviction, the person would be denied a lot of certain things, including access to guns. Because it's pre-conviction, that person won't be denied access to guns. So when you think about some of these violent offenders, if they're not going to be held responsible because they have a mental illness, I think the community would say, well, then we're also concerned that someone who's prepared to and has committed that sort of violence shouldn't be able at the end of 2 years to have guns. And we've already seen a couple of cases with youth offenders that one of the cases was out of Fresno. Eligible for this treatment program, this was someone who planned to do a pretty catastrophic, you know, violent act at a high school. That is not somebody that we think at the end of 2 years we should say, okay, that case goes away because you completed a diversion program and you have all of your rights restored. That's pretty frightening. So I do not think this was an appropriate legislative act that should have taken place, and I certainly have very serious reservations. So ultimately, the District Attorney's Association and all of the elected DAs said we really, you know, can't stand behind this. We think this is
inappropriate. I wonder who the money was behind that one.
Well, where it comes from is the concern of how many people with mental illnesses we have going through the criminal justice system.
And but that not, is but not to apply it across the entire state and right. then go through the vetting process with the
right.
law enforcement guys to get it right.
Right.
That's the scary part.
That's the scary part.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Happy day. See everybody tomorrow.